WOR. This is the John Gambling Show.
And it's the John Gambling Show Friday get together with Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Good morning.
Good morning. A little bit of rain. Going to be a lot of rain this morning.
A lot of rain this weekend, yeah.
This morning. Is it Saturday and Sunday?
Well, I'm sorry. I meant just today. Yeah. Absolutely right. Anyway, we'll get past that. The weekend is supposed to be actually pretty nice.
At least it eliminates the problem of a drought.
At the moment.
There's some, you know, silver lining every cloud.
Let's see here. Where do we want to start? I know where I want to start. What do you think about Christine Quinn's suggestion that the mayor of New York City run the MTA?
Well, at least, look, the press is talking about Wiener and not his policies, but his, you know.
Actions. Okay.
One joke is fine. After that, let's get serious about this. And at least Quinn's got some ideas. And, you know, trying. The problem is that the state has this big organization. They would never give up power, I don't think. And the state funds a lot of it. And if you go back, I had suggested that we control the MTA when I started running. But that was before 9/11. And after 9/11, the economics of everything changed. The city should be in charge of its own transportation system. I just don't know that how practical that is.
Well, and also the fact that the funding would still have to come out of the state to a greater degree. Yep. Otherwise, you're going to put tolls at both ends of the East River bridges to pay for it.
Giving us control and money is not likely.
Not the way of the world, right? Exactly.
But at least she's talking about something and policy and something that's important to the city.
Well, to that, let's go.
And incidentally, I saw Bill Thompson yesterday, has a plan on crime. If you remember a few weeks ago, I was screaming that they weren't talking about how they. Thompson has a plan. I don't know if I agree with everything.
2,000 cops, additional cops.
But whatever it is, but he's talking about substance. That's what we need.
When it comes to transportation, the number 7 train idea floated when you announced the extension that maybe someday we could put a tunnel under the river.
Well, you know, somebody at the MTA, I don't know why they do this. They say, oh, that's ridiculous. It's never going to happen. I don't know if it's never going to happen. It's worth studying to just, we have not built a new tunnel under the Hudson River for 100 years. The number of people that want to come into New York City or leave New York City is enormous. The waits, you listen to the radio, 45-minute, an hour wait at the bridges of the tunnels, and then people are saying, well, we shouldn't even think about it?
I said I talked about that this week, and I said if the 30 years that I've been here working in New York City, we get slower and slower and slower in being able to move around our region, and for the ARC tunnel to have been canceled, for this idea to be poo-pooed, to not put mass transit on the Tappan Zee Bridge, who are we kidding?
Nobody focuses. The decisions are made. I don't want to support a big project. I'll do a medium project. Or it's outside of my jurisdiction, so I don't want to do it. If you go back, the Tappan Zee Bridge is built at the widest point on the Hudson River, most expensive. Why? Because it was just north of the boundary where the Port Authority has control. Why did they do that? Because New York, supposedly, I wasn't around then, you weren't either, supposedly didn't want to share any of the revenues with New Jersey. So they built it where the port didn't have any control. Because it does go from.
So we made it longer than
Westchester to Rock. Yeah. Then, of course, the height of chutzpah, there was when it came time to build a new Tappan Zee, there was a request, I forget, by somebody, get New Jersey to pay part of it. You're right.
After you nailed them the first time, you go back to the well a second time.
Right. Now, should we go and build it in a different place now? I don't know. I mean, you got to talk to the governor. I'm sure they've done a lot of studies, and it would be politically a heavy lift and that sort of thing. The one thing I think we should certainly be 100% right, not to put mass transit on the bridge is a terrible mistake. I don't care what it costs. We just, mass transit is our future. And I thought Governor Christie was wrong in canceling the ARC tunnel. I mean, he had some good reasons.
No, I understand the two.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
still a mistake.
But
in my
opinion. I don't know it was a mistake by him. It was an error on society's part that we couldn't get it done because he had some legitimate, and I'm sure Governor Cuomo has some legitimate things on why no mass transit on the Tappan Zee. But the bottom line is we should stop everything and do have the mass transit.
Nobody knows this better than you do, but the fact that we are stuck in the mire of transportation and not being able to move more quickly only makes the business environment that much more difficult.
But, you know, people don't understand that the jobs of the future, the tax base of the future, these are all dependent on us having businesses here. Businesses need transportation in and out. They need places to land helicopters. They need mass transit to move employees. They need tunnels and bridges that aren't choked with cars to move goods and services by truck. And then you have to be business friendly. And we've passed two laws that are disastrous for small businesses, really going to hurt. And there's another proposal. There's a proposal from somebody in the city council for a law that would prohibit you from looking at somebody's credit history in hiring decisions. I don't know anybody. Irrational, irresponsible. Of course you'd look at somebody's history. What else on basis are you going to decide whether a person's going to be a good employee other than look at what they've done in their past? The business of not considering why somebody's been unemployed for a long time. Can you imagine interviewing somebody and there's a gap on their resume and you can't look and see why and ask them? And if it doesn't satisfy you as the employer, to not being able to say, well, I'm not going to hire you. And it's even worse because the company has to justify that, prove that they didn't use that, which means every tort lawyer is just going to send you a bill. You want to have a lawsuit or you just want to send us some cash?
The bill that you are talking about here, about not being able to check on your credit history, under the bill, any company found in violation would be forced to hire the applicant and pay a fine up to $50,000 and be on the hook for compensatory damages.
Why would you open a business here if you have to go through all this stuff? In places, the paid sick leave, 20 or more people. So you have 20 employees, fire one, and you're ahead of the game. Or what they've done in other places, have two 10-person companies. I mean, you can't stop the tides from coming in, and these things are nonsensical, and they are decisions being made by people who've never run a small business, never had to make a payroll, don't understand. If you talk to the small business owners, they just are starting to get really worried.
What concerns me is that all of these proposals could portend a future that where some of these things become law.
Well, paid sick leave is law. Right. Not being able to ask why, and having to justify that you didn't look at somebody's employment history if there's a gap is law. This isn't law yet, but if you look and you see the kind of things that are being passed, it's pretty sure you can bet a lot of money that's going to be the next piece.
It makes it difficult for everybody to do that. Hang on, Mr. Mayor. Again, let me remind everybody, 800-321-0710. Michael Bloomberg has joined me here in Studio 4 at WOR, 23 minutes after 8 o'clock. Got a question for the mayor, 800-321-0710. Senator Schumer this week saying that he thought that it would be fair for some of the Sandy money to go to people that have actually laid their own money out for repairs to their homes. And I gather the city isn't.
Well, we're looking at it. The problem is, how do you figure out whether or not it was legit? And some of these things sound good, but then the implementation takes. Is a more difficult. But we are looking at it and seeing if there is a way as we can ensure the public that anybody that shows up with a bill deserves to get paid under the law.
So, how big would you guess? And this is sort of out of left field. And if you don't know the answer to it, I completely understand. How many people are involved in actually the distribution of Sandy money? Would you guess from the city's point of view?
You mean in terms of who does it?
I mean, how big is it? Is it 50, 100?
No, a lot of it's FEMA.
It is FEMA.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, in the end, the programs, we would give money to an organization to do some stuff. But in terms of if you call and you want a bill paid, most of that is directly with FEMA. We have these centers. Actually, I had a reception at Gracie to say thank you for breakfast yesterday. For people from all city agencies that volunteered and they worked in these centers, right, which we set up all around the flood zone all after Sandy. helping people fill out forms and that sort of thing. And there was a FEMA desk, and then we try to help you with your private insurance companies and all of this stuff.
Did you know that the name Sandy will never be used for a hurricane again?
I saw the headline go by. I didn't bother to read the story. Well,
that's it. I mean, that is a rule, I guess, or at least a procedure that they do at the National Weather Center, that if there's a storm that has catastrophic
then you
aspects
don't use
to
it,
it you throw that one out of the
list. It probably saves a lot of stories like...
You mentioned Gracie Mansion. I don't remember. Was Gracie Mansion impacted by Sandy?
No, it's right there on the river. Yeah, but it's way up.
Is it up and on the...
Yeah, the FDR goes underneath the backyard.
Oh, okay. All right.
So there are pictures or daguerreographs, I think they're called. Something like that. Of
the garotypes.
Right. Of the backyard sloping down to the river and people swimming.
It used to be a farmhouse.
Yeah. Well, it was a country house. That was the Hamptons of the city. And if you got in the water there, other than exactly when the tide was turning, you'd either be in Montauk or New Jersey in 30 minutes.
It borders what they call Hell's Gate,
half of Long Island Sound empties out through that and gets filled again. So the current through there is really unbelievable.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to do a lot of swimming.
Enormous ships when they have to go through against the current, and you can hear their engines are going full bore and they're barely moving forward.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting place. You know, the Museum for the City of New York, which I believe now is over at Pier 17, isn't it? On the second floor, I think. Anyway, they have what I find fascinating is a map, and I'm not sure that it's a diorama, but shows you what New York was when there weren't any buildings and any people natives.
I was over at the Brooklyn Navy Yard the other day. Alan Fishman's chairman of the board, and they have taken what was, let me step back. The Navy Yard was closed in the 50s, 60s, given to the city. City did nothing with it. They had this board, which was just patronage. They never did anything. And then it was about 10 years ago, we revamped it, changed the board. And today there's 100 companies waiting for space in it. It is full. We're creating enormous new companies, jobs. So it's over there and take a tour. And they have this map that changes. One of the things is shows what that area was before any development. Back in that's where the British prison ships anchored. And something like 15,000, 20,000 Americans
were held prisoner.
And died in the prison ships. Yeah, they're just terrible. There were a lot more people, I think, died in the prison ships than were killed in the War of 1812. Hmm.
Speaking of development, Pier 57 at 15th Street.
There's just one pier after another. I mean, there's the new development just south of the Intrepid, I think it is. Then there is the park that Barry Diller has been working on and going to give a lot of money for. I mean, you take a look at Hudson River Park from the top in the 50s all the way down to Battery Park. It's just unbelievable. And then you have the High Line right next to it for a period from the rail yards south. That's one of the reasons all these the real estate in those areas have just boomed because everybody wants to live there. And the Whitney takes their whole museum from Madison Avenue and moves the whole museum down there. That doesn't happen very often.
It certainly doesn't. We have now become or have another. Accolade. We are it's nothing new either. New York City and Brooklyn are the most expensive cities in America today, number one and number two.
It's because everybody wants to live there. That is as good a measure of how wonderful it is. Now, somebody says, well, I can't afford it. Okay, but you know, there are a lot of cities you can afford that you don't want to live in. The bottom line is the price of real estate is the measure of how desirable stuff is. And Brooklyn arguably in the last 10 years has had more projects get going in it and has changed more than any other borough. Although, look, they're building in the Bronx and they're building on Staten Island, they're building in Queens as well as building in Manhattan and building in Brooklyn. And more than half the jobs we've been creating here are outside of Manhattan. And that never happened before. New hotels, lots of new hotels. built outside of Manhattan. That never happened. Restaurants. Where'd you have dinner last night? Restaurant I never heard of. Where? It's in Brooklyn. Some in Queens now.
Isn't that reflective, though, of...
And again, I'm going to have dinner Sunday in the Bronx.
Isn't that reflective to your point about the development, that it has to do with a slightly lower real estate cost from Manhattan proper?
Well, there's lots of places in Brooklyn that are pretty expensive in this day and age. People want to live there. It's hard to say why one area catches on. It's once you get momentum... You know, Williamsburg, I can't tell you the number of people I have met around the world who said, oh, my daughter, my son is now living in New York. I said, great, where? Williamsburg. Williamsburg has become the hot place. But when I came to New York in 1966, there was only one hot place that you kept hearing about, Brooklyn Heights. Today, it's a phenomenal neighborhood, but nobody mentions Brooklyn Heights because there's just so many other areas, or if you mention Brooklyn Heights, it's one of 20 instead of one of one.
I've got a son looking for an apartment in Williamsburg right at the moment.
Rest my case.
There you go. 831, again, 800-321-0710. If you got a question for Mayor Michael Bloomberg. 24 now before 9 o'clock, Mayor Michael Bloomberg and John Gambling. All right, the gun law being discussed. Looks like there's a deal, at least, on background checks.
Well, I don't know if there's a deal because you've got a lot of amendments, a lot of talking, and then you got to get through the House. But we have made progress, and I was asked yesterday about Senator Toomey from Pennsylvania and him standing up as a Republican, and somebody said, would you support him? And I said... This guy took a very difficult vote, or says he's going to. He certainly didn't do it to help his career. The only reason to do it is it's the right thing to do and it'll save lives. And while he's very conservative and we probably don't agree on a lot of things, yes, I would support him. I mean, this guy stands up to save lives in America. Look, here are the numbers. This year, 12,000 Americans will get killed with handguns and 19,000 will commit suicide with handguns. Okay, that's 31,000 people killed with handguns. We talk a lot about assault weapons, and I do think we should ban them. I don't think they belong. They belong on the battlefield with a trained soldier, not with an amateur in crowded spaces. But assault weapons and high-capacity magazines will kill 400 people this year. It makes the press because, like Sandy Hook, you see... 26 people and kids, and so it wrenches your heart and tragedies. But there were 30 other murders on average around the country that same day. Most of those were done with handguns. And so I think that it'd be great to get rid of assault weapons, but there's not a chance. You just can't, not going to get that through Congress. And you have to be practical. I said yesterday, you know, Governor Cuomo, one of the things that really would make a difference in New York City is to have micro stamping where you can look at the casing and find out which gun fired it. And I assume the governor thinks that's a good idea, too. And certainly the police all do. But the governor decided, and I think he's right, he could not get that through the legislature. So he passed got them to pass bills on what he could get through. If you wait for the perfect thing, you'll never do anything. At a national level, the bill that's being considered would give you background checks for, law already says, for gun dealers. There's 51,000 gun dealers. To put that in perspective, there's only 14,000 to 15,000 McDonald's. You think McDonald's every place? There are a lot more gun dealers by a factor of three than there are McDonald's. But the background checks already apply to guns when you buy them from dealers. This would add gun shows and internet sales, really every commercial sale. The only thing it would not cover is if you sold a gun to your son, for example. Now, number one, I don't know how we would ever enforce that if it was the law. So to make this big deal about that's carved out, so what? It doesn't change anything. Number two, I would argue if you want to sell your gun to your son, maybe you have a problem in your family. Why don't you just give – I don't know if he should have a gun or not.
Well, exactly.
But if you have a commercial transaction, a couple hundred dollars with your son, there's something wrong in your family. It's just not something where everybody's pulling together in the same direction. So that's the only thing it leaves out. And, you know, it's – the question you should be asking is, well, if you close the gun show loophole and the internet sale loophole, does it make a difference? And the place you see it most is in suicides. There are 14 states that actually close the gun show loophole, including New York, close the gun show and internet loophole. And those 14 states have suicide rates half the national average. And the reason it's half the national average is they basically have suicide rates with guns a tenth the national average. Suicide, typically, not all the time, is not a planned thing. You just get upset, go try to get a gun. If it's harder to get a gun, there's more of a likelihood you'll say, oh, well, I'll do it tomorrow and never get around to it again. And that's exactly what's happened. And so these 14 states, when they did close that loophole, saved in a lot of lives. And it probably also saved a lot of shootings on the street, but that's harder to measure. The suicides, it's easier to measure. You can track the number of suicides easier with guns versus other things. So I think this is not perfect, but it takes you 90% of the ways, maybe 95% of the ways, towards more rational gun laws. And the public is overwhelmingly in favor of background checks. A couple of editorial boards think it's not enough, but the public does, and I do. And it would be great if we could get rid of assault weapons, but that's just not going to happen at the moment. So let's do this. And everybody, you know, I don't know that you want to have a victory lap, but you those senators and then House members, when we get to that, if we get to that, that voted for this should have a big smile on their face. They did something to save your life and your kids' lives and make this country a lot better. And I will be out there, you can rest assured, next November, a year from now, saying, look, these are the people that voted.
Yeah, you're going to be keeping track.
I mean, we have this Mayor's Coalition Against Illegal Guns. We have 950 mayors from around the country, red states, blue states, purple states, north, south, east, west, urban, rural, whatever. Because the mayors understand, they're the ones that have to go to the hospital or give a eulogy. And I think we should be out there. And that's when you say, this person voted to save your life. This person voted to let people with criminal records and mental problems have a gun and potentially take your life. Because the NRA is doing exactly that on the other side. And they say, oh, nobody should be able to buy the public. They've been doing this for decades, and nobody they didn't.
$230 million.
Okay, so I mean, let's get serious here. They have had this stage to themselves, and legislators at the state and federal, and even the city levels, have been cowed by the NRA. The NRA says, "You don't vote with us, we're going to work for your opponent." Well, I'm putting together a group and saying, "You vote with the NRA, we're going to be working for your opponent." And we have run ads, and we had a big impact in Illinois and in four other races. We ran some ads. Senator Rubio in Florida said he's going to stop a discussion even in a vote. And so we ran a bunch of ads in Florida saying, what is this? This guy wants to be president of the United States. Forget about it isn't even the fact that he wants criminals and people with psychiatric problems to have guns. He doesn't even want you to have the right to discuss it. See what happens.
All right. Earlier this week, I had the opportunity to talk with City Councilman Dan Gorodnick about the food trucks here in New York City and his idea of actually designating.
I don't know about the practicality of that, but I read that. I thought he had a good. It's worth looking at.
That made sense well. Because in some places in the city, as you well know, so many food trucks line up on a block, it's almost like a strip mall.
Right. And also, if you had a restaurant in that block,
be furious.
You bet you'd be furious. So, you know, there's some laws as what you can do, can't do. But I thought it was certainly an idea worth looking at, yeah.
All right.
Gorodnick's right, has a good point.
New plan to put parking spots that you can now pay for through
it's
electronics.
It's actually very clever. We're trying it, a pilot thing in the Bronx. It's been done in other cities, so we know it works technically, whether it'll work in New York. There's sensors in the street along the curb, which tell the computer whether or not there's a car parked there. Now, you're not sure how far apart they are, so there may not be a space. But the computer knows that it's pretty much all full or a lot of empty space. So the chances are, if there's a lot of empty space, there will be spaces big enough for you to put your car. So the app tells you where there are spaces available, or most likely to be spaces available. Doesn't guarantee it. The other thing it does is you can, instead of going up to the meter, remember, we don't have these meters in front of every car anymore. Now there's a kiosk in the middle of the block. You buy it, you get a ticket, you put it on your windshield. The traffic agent comes and looks to see whether or not it's out of date or out of time, whatever. This way, you won't have to do that. You can pay via charges on your smartphone. And the traffic agent comes and sees you park there, and he or she has a device, just points it at the license plate, hits a button, it reads your license plate, checks to the database, and says, oh, you, this person has paid. And then they don't come by all the time, so if they come back a few hours later, but it also, it notifies you when the time is running down, and you can say, no, I'm in the middle of dinner, and I want to stay more, and you hit a button.
And it pays for another.
Absolutely. Yeah, sure, unless there's a restriction on how many hours.
And if the traffic agent points the little gizmo and figures out that gambling has run out of time.
It gives you a ticket.
It gives you a ticket or gives you the opportunity and charges you more money.
I'm pretty sure it gives you a ticket
because
you have to have the right to go to court and fight it and that sort of thing. I don't think they just automatically
debit your,
you know, $200 fine or $10 billion fine or whatever it is.
Okay. Very good. Let's see here. Oh, the city bikes. Are you going to be the first person to ride a city bike?
No, but I was at the Brooklyn Navy Yard. This is where the stands are being assembled. I think there's like 400 stations. It's from 59th Street South in Manhattan and a big chunk of the Bronx, like sort of if you drew a line, I don't know, 2 or 3 miles around Red Hook into the good part of the Brooklyn. And by every place this has been done around the world, it's phenomenally successful. It starts sometime middle of May. For the first week, there's a test. You have to join the club or whatever it is. And after that, you can just walk up with your credit card. And I looked at a whole bunch of them over in the Navy Yard where they're being assembled. And they're going out around the city. I think there's like 400 stations. And you'll see these trucks pull up and they lower them down. It's solar powered, so they don't have to plug into electricity, which means you could move it easily. It's very
some neighborhoods or some of the locations the people have suggested maybe another place would be better.
Yeah, they have enormous.
But that gives you the opportunity.
Sure,
to
an
do
enormous
that.
Outreach. This is generally where the community. Somebody said I never said, but the community board did. There are people who've said this is where we want them, and then we'll see. There's a theory that, and it's hard to get the evidence, but that the more people you get to in front of your store, the more they're going to come in and shop, and so it's good for restaurants and good for stores to have it in the neighborhood. But, you know, some people, I don't know why they're so irrational against bicycles. But the public, when it votes with its feet or wheels, goes to bicycles.
I had to say this week that I was disappointed that the city decided to pay off the Occupy Wall Streeters for their
books. No, we didn't do that. We paid their lawyers off.
Well, that's exactly.
Virtually all the money went to their lawyers.
But that's even more maddening.
John, we can't fight every single one. This was about, they had a library of books. The books are sacred. They destroyed the books when the sanitation department moved in. I don't know whether any of those books
were
there.
But Norman Singel got $150,000.
Look, that's the court's decision. How much is his? We could sit there and fight it, and you were going to have cost you millions of dollars to fight these. It was $300,000 to have it go away. You can't fight everything,
but
and we want to fight.
Don't you, by doing that, encourage even more of this?
Yes, fine, except that where do you draw the line?
I don't know.
Do you want to pay more taxes? We have 700 lawyers or something like that in our corporation council where everybody sues us all the time. You just can't fight them all. I would like, particularly when it's defending your cops, defending your firefighters, defending the city— You know, you just can't fight them all. You make a decision. Are you likely to lose it? And remember, the courts and the district attorneys are different in each of the five boroughs. So one of the things you look at is the evidence. Number two, where is it? Some counties, boroughs, you have a lot less chance of winning, and some you have a lot better chance of winning. Some are more pro-city, some are more pro-plaintiff. And that's the real world. You just don't live in a world where you can go and do everything perfectly. It's easy for you to sit here and,
it is,
and
exactly.
say that.
Absolutely.
Okay, fine. Run for mayor and you see, win and then see how it is. You know, all this stuff.
No, I understand.
It's like every time we add another level of, you scream, we got to have another level of protection against fraud. Every one of those levels adds. We are adding 100 inspectors to make sure that food stamps are given only to people who are, have a right to them and that they haven't signed up earlier and they're double dipping. We used to do that with fingerprinting.
Now it's costing.
We're going to have 100 people. We cannot anymore do this with fingerprinting. We're not allowed. And it's like the speeding cameras. Marty Golden protects the union. We're not going to hire more cops to do it. The bottom line is kids are going to get killed. And he says, oh, we'll hire more cops. Yeah, the last time he voted for a tax increase was a very long time ago. Get serious here.
All right, Mr. Mayor. We have a lineup of folks on the phone here. We will get to them. John Gambling Show. And now you. And we're going to start right at the top of the card. Diane in New Jersey. You've got the mayor. Good morning.
Yes, hi. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hi. Mayor, you made a comment in the beginning when you started talking. Basically, you said suicide can be prevented by gun laws. That you said if a person wanted to commit suicide and if he didn't have access to a gun, that would save his life.
Some people,
differ with you. If a person is going to commit suicide, he's going to do it, even if he has or has not.
Diane, just look, there's enormous amount of research. The statistics of governments, cities and counties and the federal government keep statistics. It's just not true. If you look at where it's harder to get a gun, the suicide rate with guns drops, but the suicide rate with the jumping in front of a car, off a building, poison knives, does not go up. In fact, New York has the same suicide rate per capita as the rest of the country for those things, but it's 10% of the suicide rate of the country with guns, and that is true of all 14 states that have closed the gun show loophole, every single one of them. So you'd think that if they can't do it one way, they would do it another, but it's just not I don't can't explain why, but the facts just aren't there. So this really would save a lot of our suicide rate total in New York and in these 14 states is half the national average. But the suicide rates with people jumping off in front of a car, for example, which you can do any place, is exactly the same. But because the gun one is down so low, the overall average is down half, and it really will save lives.
All right, Mr. Mayor, we got a related question here from John. John, what's your question?
Hi,
for
John.
Mayor Bloomberg?
Yeah, hello, Mr. Mayor.
Hi.
Real quick, I don't understand how they always try to pass laws regarding the Second Amendment, and they say it'll save one life, it's worth it. I mean, look at alcohol. Alcohol, people die in the hundreds of thousands a year.
You're 100% right. More people, alcohol kills more people with guns, and there was a belief that we should ban it. It was called prohibition. It didn't last very long. It turned out to be a disaster. I think we should have laws that say a bartender, for example, can't serve you if you look intoxicated. And we try to have programs to educate people that alcohol is dangerous if used too much. And we don't allow minors to have alcohol. But guns also kill. And, it's to say, well, if there's something worse, we shouldn't do anything, doesn't make any sense. We don't let you drink and drive, but there are lots of ways to get killed other than somebody that's boozed up hitting you. So, you're right. Alcohol kills. We did try to ban it. That didn't work. And that was the 20 what amendment, John? One was the prohibition and one was to reverse
23rd?
It. 23rd? I don't forget the number, but it's in the 20s, yeah.
All right, Johnny, thank you. Francis, you are next with the mayor. Go ahead, Francis.
Hi.
Yes, good morning. I'd like to ask the mayor, why is it, hello?
Yep, I'm with you.
Yes, that the Department of Education, and I'm a retired employee,
right.
You receive payment when you retire for unused sick days. I never took advantage, but I think it's really not fair to the city or to the communities that I received over a $5,000 check. Those days were there for when I was sick.
Right. Well, I come from the old school, Francis, where I don't remember ever, I don't think I've ever taken a day off because I was sick. When I was a kid, if you had measles or mumps, your mother made you stay home. Other than that, What are you, crazy? Go
little
to
Mikey,
school.
Little Mikey, get up and get out the door, right?
Absolutely. You're going to infect other people. By the time you get a cold, everybody else has got it already anyways. Francis, these were bargained 50, 60, 70 years ago, and they're in the union contracts. I think Ed Koch actually made some changes. My recollection is if you don't use them at the end of the year, you can get half of it in cash back. It's something like that. I don't know the details, but you'd have to negotiate with each union to get rid of it, and good luck in that negotiation.
All right, let's see if we can sneak Denise in here. Denise, real fast, please. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks. I was just calling to find out. I'm a lifelong Staten Islander, and Mayor, I wanted to know if there was ever a look at creating another bridge. In the time that I've since moved to New Jersey, the Driscoll Bridge has been widened.
Right, there's three bridges. One has to be raised because the ships can't get under it anymore, and the port of New York, New Jersey is a very big economic thing. Is there a likelihood to be a fourth bridge? Denise, I'm sure somebody like you is very young, and I'm very old. Even you won't live to see it, I don't think.
No, but again, it gets back to our earlier discussion this hour of just the whole transportation
need. You should build a subway over to Staten Island, and they actually had put a shovel in the ground. They started to build it.
A tunnel.
A tunnel for a subway from Staten Island to Manhattan, and they took the money away and built the Verrazano.
Interesting.
They just stopped the tunnel. I forget, someplace over there, and they actually dug a hole to begin with.
Well, we could use both now. Bridge and the subways. That's it, Mr. Mayor, but thank you very much as always. Have a good week.
Looking forward to it next time.
All right. Mayor Michael Bloomberg.